We're so glad you're here today to begin the new year by sharing Holy Communion, the first communion service of this brand new year. Chaos all over the world, and it seems to just be a bubbling, like a boiling pot that's just bubbling all over the world. And yet, in the Christian faith, there is a place of peace. It's like the eye of a hurricane. The hurricane is swirling, and the winds are howling, and the rains are blinding. And yet in the middle of all of that, that's motion, and there's a place of peace. And in our heart and in the kingdom of God, there's a place of peace, but it's only in Jesus Christ. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. If you want to know how the world defines peace, pick up a simple dictionary, and the simple explanation be the cessation of wars. We're at war all the time. Spiritual warfare is part of the Christian experience. But we fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. And we rest in the Lord. The Bible says to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Amen. And He'll bring it to pass. Begins with resting and waiting, and He will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for that, because if I for many years I did not rest in the Lord, and I paid a price for that in my mind and in my body, and it began to affect me spiritually. But God has been so good to allow me to rest in Him today, and I'm glad to be here with you in this communion service today. And Brother Taylor, would you give us a centering tune as we begin to refocus away from the things that are swirling around us and focus on Him who is the Prince of Peace? Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus loves. Do you know that song? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
All right. We'll get it. We'll do a duet one Sunday. I'll say, yes, Jesus loves me. And you'll say?
Yes, Jesus loves me.
All right, buddy. We got it together. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord today. Brother Taylor, would you lead us in prayer for this service today, that we will experience the manifest presence of God. We will focus on the person of Jesus Christ.
Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your great love and your mercy. Thank you for your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, help us, Lord God, to draw closer to you, and you'll draw closer to us, Lord. Thank you for a new year, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. We don't know what's ahead of us, but you know, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to pray and look to you for holy direction and to follow your direction, to obey your voice, Lord. Let your divine will be done in our lives. Stir us up to pray and to seek your face diligently out of a pure heart, Lord. Move in the service today, Lord God. Oh, God, as the word of God go forth, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has said unto the church, hearts to receive and to contain and to obey your word, Lord God. Help us to be Christians in these last days, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for victory, Lord. Thank you for peace, Lord God. Thank you for deliverance. Lord, meet every need this prayer today, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Let's worship the Lord today. As we prepare for communion, who would have thought that Christmas would become a distraction even for many Christians? That Christmas could become an actual distraction from the gift that we have in Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Get caught up in the preparations for Christmas. I was blessed today when Sister Taylor told me that she listened to a Christmas message on our website. And she said, because there was no distractions, I was able to just take in what the Word of God was saying to me. It's amazing that not only even church, if we have a lot of activity going on, there can be distractions. Distractions are the devil's devices to keep us from the focus that we're supposed to have as children of God. The Bible said if we're going to run this race, to run it with perseverance and not quit running till we finish this race. Amen. We're to lay aside every sin, every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience. The word there is not take a number and wait. It means to be actively involved, running this race, finishing this course with the end in view, but in the course that we're on, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. And it means looking away from all that will distract, and setting our gaze upon Jesus. Everybody say, stay focused. If you want to make a resolution for this year and ask God to help you to keep it, don't make it just to lose 20 pounds or 10 or 5, because you'll probably break that one. I mean, you might make it, but most of us break that one. I mean, you know, we try. If you go to the gym after the holidays, it's full of people that said, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to get it off, and I'm going to keep it off. Amen. Anyway, if you go back in 6 weeks, you won't find as many people. Amen. But listen, this God will help us keep if we will ask Him. Help us to stay focused, to not look. The Bible says that we're not to look to the right hand nor the left hand, but to let our eyes look straight before us. How many has ever been to St. Augustine, Florida, the actual downtown part? Anybody been there? You can get a horse-drawn carriage to take you around so you're not in the traffic when it's tourist season, and you can just more or less relax. And even the guy will tell you this is that and this is that. You can hire that horse-drawn carriage. You'll notice something, the traffic is right next to that carriage lane. And cars are going and coming, and it's a hustle and bustle. And that horse is unbothered by what's all this hustle and bustle, because he's got on blinders. The peripheral is not keeping him from staying focused on his lane. The peripheral keeps him from being bothered by the threats, something that would upset him, cause him not to keep the pace and just keep moving forward in his lane. Blinders. He can't see the peripheral. We are attracted to the peripheral. Every time you turn on your computer, you're going to get hit with headlines. We're attracted to the peripheral. Not only the peripheral, but the clickbait headlines that cause us to check that out. I better check this out. Look at that. Look at this. Look anywhere to anything except look to Jesus, who is the author. And before we look at anything, we need to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, so that we can run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Now, I've got a lane to stay in. You've got a lane to stay in. Hallelujah. And we need Holy Ghost. I'm asking God not only that I have more discipline in not looking to the right or left, but looking straight on before me, but I need Holy Ghost blinders to help me do that. I need to get in the Bible. I need to get in the Word. I need to get into the presence of God. I need to worship Him in my personal devotions, that I can stay focused. Amen. Look unto Jesus. Set your gaze. Look away. Say it with me. Look away from all that will distract, and set your gaze upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Don't look back. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Let thine eyes look straight on before thee. If you do that, if I do that, and I have to do it to maintain the faith that I need to persevere. It takes faith to persevere. And Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. He's the Alpha and Omega of our faith. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that He wants to help us to stay focused. You can't possibly be discouraged if you're not distracted. You can't be discouraged if you're not distracted. Remember Hezekiah in the Old Covenant? God tells Isaiah, go tell Hezekiah. Go tell him that what he's got, the ailment that he has, set your house in order. Was it Hezekiah? You're gonna die. Set your house in order, you're going to die. He said a reputable prophet, not one of these crazy people out here. He sent Isaiah, pretty reputable prophet, major prophet of the Old Testament. And Isaiah tells him, and he says, oh no. And what does he do? He's got this terrible report. And it's not the devil lying to him. It's God telling him, get ready. What you have, without my intervention or some intervention, you will die. Get your house in order. Get your will made. Get your preparations made. You're going to die. You know what he did? He turned, listen carefully, he turned his face to the wall. To where all of the discouragement, all of the fear, all of the worry, all of the anxiety that would normally take his focus was put aside. God was no longer in the peripheral of all of that chaos and crisis in his life. God was the source of his help. He turned his face to the wall. Some days, when you really have a need, you're serious about getting it met, you might need to turn off the television for a while. You may need to quit texting for a while. In fact, if you want to stay focused and stay in faith so you can receive, when you pray, enter into your closet. Now, don't go in the closet at your house. It means go into a private place where you can be without distractions. Amen? A private place, wherever you make that. I had a guy ask me when I started working for Tampa Electric, found out I was a minister. He said, we got an old house we inherited from my grandmother. It's only got one bathroom, and I've got four daughters and a wife, and they have to go to school and I have to go to work, and so our time in the bathroom is limited. He said, actually, there's nowhere I can go in my house hardly where there's no distractions. He said, Pastor, I've got 5 minutes in the bathroom allotted me. Take my bath at night, so this is just morning stuff before you go out. He said, I got 5 minutes. He says, I kneel beside the facility, the commode, and talk to God before I go to work. He said, do you think the Lord minds that I talk to Him while in a bathroom? I said, absolutely not. God's glad to hear from His children. And He's especially glad when we're in a place where our focus is on Him. And not them, and not this, and not that. Hallelujah. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. What was he doing? Amen. He was setting his faith upon the Lord and in the Lord. And not letting this bad report get a hold of him, discourage him, distract him to the point of saying it's all over. Isaiah said it. Forget about it. No. He said, I serve a merciful... You know what he focused on? The mercy of the Lord. Oh, I got to finish this. We're going to receive communion. But I got to finish this. It's coming early on me. The anointing is coming early on me. I've got an outline here. Don't think I don't study and prepare. And it's a perfect outline for communion. If we went in just the communion alone. But God is talking to us about something He wants to say about this coming year. If we don't break the pattern of distractions, they will cause us to be discouraged. And discouraged people will get sidelined from the race. We will not persevere in the race that is set for us. We will have setbacks. We will lose the peace. We will lose the power, amen, that He gives us to run with if we get the focus off of Him. Because we won't have faith. Faith, He is the author. He is the completer. He's the finisher. Distractions are real. And the devil, it's a device of the devil. And we're easily distracted. Amen. We are. Just any little thing. Just like Sister Pat coming in. I said, there's Sister Pat. Hallelujah. And we're not putting no trip on you, Sister Pat. We're just using you as an example of how easily... Amen. And did you notice that, Sister Pat? If you were from my vantage point, you couldn't help but notice. So I need help. I need God's help to stay focused. Amen. Because not only do people we know and love, we can't help but see them, but also when the devil comes in like a flood in an overwhelming way, and it looks like God is distant and the devil's right there and he's come to destroy, we can be easily distracted. And we need to get a hold of the Word of God that tells us when the devil comes in, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And the standard is Christ. Its standard is Christ. And it literally means to stem the flow and to send that flood tide in another direction so it can't overwhelm you. What did the scripture say? Not if you go through the fire, but when you go through it. It will not kindle on you because I am with you. Hallelujah. I always tell people what I tell myself. When you're going through a fiery trial, look for the fourth man in that furnace of affliction. Praise God, because he is there. If you're distracted, you won't feel that he's there, sense that he's there. But if you are focused on the truth of God's word, you will accept the fact that he is in that furnace with you. And it is set to destroy you, but not even would it kindle on you. When they came out of that furnace, because of the presence of Christ within it, they say that's an Old Testament manifestation. What an epiphany. It's an Old Testament manifestation of Jesus before he was incarnate. He was the fourth man in the fire. Because he is the Redeemer. Praise God. And in that scripture in Isaiah, it said, amen, the Lord will raise up a standard. And then on a little further down, it says, for a Redeemer shall come to Zion. And that means Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the Redeemer. Glory to God. Distractions are real. And they attract us. And we need Holy Ghost blinders to stay in our lane and not lose our focus on Jesus Christ. Christmas can actually be a distraction. Now, we're just past it, and I'm kind of... Nobody's thinking about, you know, traveling to somebody's house and preparing a big meal and doing this and doing that and doing the other. Maybe we can get focused on Jesus. Maybe we can get focused on what he has purposed for our life, the race that's set before us to run. Maybe we can get focused on the Word of God. So I appreciated what you said, because it's become part of the message today. Amen. It's all her fault that I'm doing this. No, she encouraged me. She said, I sat down without any distractions and listened to the Christmas message on the website. And it blessed her soul. It wasn't because I'm the preacher. She hears me all the time. Amen. It blessed her soul because it was anointed, it was appointed, and it was the word of the living God. And she was focused on it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stay focused. That's the watchword for this new year. Stay focused. How many have a past? Things happened before you showed up today in your life since you were born. That's called your past. You got to get past your past, because that's a distraction too. That's why the Apostle Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind. And it's not just your old sins. It's people who sinned against you. You can dwell on the people that have failed you, the people that have hurt you. I had a rich aunt that never gave me a penny. Anybody have a rich relative that's stingy? You got one that's stingy? Okay, give me a fist bump over here, sister. I had one of those too. Don't ever think God's going to use that person necessarily to meet your need. I had a guy give me a car that I had given a peanut butter sandwich because he had no shoes on his feet, and he had an old shirt, looked like it had been washed about 100 times, and it was frayed at the edges. He came up and he said, Pastor, he said, I'm glad that you're here today. And I told Pamela, I said, you know, I gave her the sign, because people come to the door. We're in Sulphur Springs. We made them big old peanut butter sandwiches, big bread. You know, we had a guy sleep under. Somebody had beat him about half to death, and he was all puffed up and bloody and asked if he could sleep under our porch that night so he could be safe. He didn't ask to come in. Can I sleep under your porch? And I said, sir, if you want to, you can sleep under that porch. But we got him a peanut butter sandwich for supper. And when he got up the next morning, we had a peanut butter sandwich. And I think we had a couple of boiled eggs and something else Pamela fixed up to give him. And he went on his way. I said, are you somewhere you can go and get patched up? And he said, yeah, well, I can do that. So he slept under our porch. We blessed him with peanut butter sandwiches. But the other guy that came, I thought he wants a peanut butter sandwich too. And you know what? He had in his hand something. We only had one car. When I was gone, Pamela couldn't take care of any business, couldn't take Matthew to school. And I had all kinds of emergencies where I had to go and take care of. And this guy come up, and it was a used car. But it was, and yes, it was a little six-cylinder Maverick. And you probably don't remember Mavericks. You remember Maverick? You remember Maverick. He had a title. He said, I believe the Lord wanted me to bless you with this car. He said, it ain't much, but it runs good. Well, it wasn't much, but it did run good. You know how, the air conditioner was great. No, it didn't have electric windows, but you could roll it down. We drove it to Gainesville. Amen. Our car was in the shop. We had to go to Gainesville for whatever. And we rolled both windows down. And as long as we were running about 70 on the interstate, it would do 75. But anyway, it actually would push 80, just to tell you. Amen. It was like, run like a scalded dog. I hate to use that. I love animals. But it would go. And as long as we were running 75 or above, we were being aerated enough to take the 98-degree summer heat. But when we pulled in to this restaurant and we got in line at the, you know, to order on the drive-thru, we started sweating down. Say, there's no air conditioning in this car, but you know what? We praise God that we had that car. Amen. Because if we didn't, we couldn't have made the trip. I drove that car, my wife and I drove it to Cullman, Alabama. Cullman, Alabama, for a funeral for a lady that used to come to our church many, many years ago. And we drove that little Maverick up there and back, and it run like a sewing machine. Who would have thought that someone with no shoes on? Now, he had shoes. He just wasn't wearing them. We assumed he was somebody in great need. And God sent him to bless us with a second vehicle. And even though we rolled the windows down, amen, we were thankful for what the Lord had done for us. Now, back to the distraction thing. Let thine eyes look straight on before thee. Look neither to the right nor to the left. Everybody say, don't be distracted. That's exactly what that's talking about. Forgetting the things that are behind. That's a distraction. And looking to the things that are before. Paul said, listen, if he thought, you talk about distractions, he said, that things that happened to him that he could be dwelling on to discourage him in his ministry and his trust in God, his faith in God. You know what he said? He said, I was given 39 stripes of the Jews on 5 occasions. 40 stripes, save one. Why it didn't go beyond 39? It was not meant to be capital punishment. It was not meant to kill him. But they had found out, if you hit him with that cat, braided leather, not the kind that had that they whipped Jesus with, the shards of glass or pottery in it that yanked his flesh from his back, but that put the stripes on his back. And by the way, you may have been hurt by someone or something in your past. The devil wants you to dwell on it. Because if you dwell on it, it will become a root of bitterness. And the devil will use that root of bitterness. How many's ever had hard feelings towards someone? Thank the Lord you're honest this morning. I was going to have an altar call if you hadn't, enough of you hadn't raised hands. Just go ahead and get that out of the way. Lest if you dwell on it, it will become a root of bitterness, but it won't stay something that is rooted. It will grow. It will grow. Lest there be in any of you a root of bitterness springing up. And the devil will use it to do what? To trouble you. He's achieved his goal to distract you from the glory, from the wonderful power, the wonderful person of Jesus, the God who is so merciful and so good. Hallelujah. And he wants to keep doing that. And if we keep letting that happen, and we don't do something about it, and we don't readjust our focus this coming year, whatever distracted you from what God had for you last year that he wasn't able to give you because of that distraction, he's going to use it to keep you from it this year. I don't want to look back this year. I'm not doing this just because it's New Year's. This is for all the time. I do not want to look back on people who have hurt me, people who have failed me, people who have conspired to destroy me, family situations that I don't even see. I'm already distracted. I don't want to look back on that. Amen. I'm here to look to Jesus and to point you to Jesus. Because when I look at them, I get really upset, distracted, and discouraged. But when I look at him, I get encouraged. Hallelujah. To run with perseverance the race that is set before me. To get in my lane, stay in my lane, finish my course with joy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm not discouraged. Because my focus is on the one who encourages me, hallelujah, and stimulates my faith to keep on running, keep on running, forgetting this distraction, the things that are behind, because they're in the past, and looking, once again, you got to look away from something to look to anything, setting your gaze, looking to those things that are before. What does God say? Something to help us look away and look to. I know the thoughts that I think toward thee. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Can you say amen? I want you to have a spirit of expectation of my goodness, my mercy, my help in your life. But you got to look away from that will distract and set your focus on what I am saying to you. Can you say amen? I know my thoughts toward you, and I'm going to divulge them unto you so you can stay focused. Amen. Isn't there a paraphrase of that that says to bless you, prosper you, and give you good success? Wow, that's good stuff. Amen. Bless us, prosper us, and give spiritually prosper us, and give us good success. Hallelujah. I feel His presence here today. When God gives the message before we get in the message, He really wants to catch us before we get distracted. And in Holy Communion today, the focus is on Jesus, who is the author, the finisher of our faith. Not just what He's done for us, but what He stands ready to do for us. And the fact that He's done what He's done for us shows such love and commitment to us that we should never doubt what He's willing to do for us. That's why I talk about many times the logic of the cross. If God loved us enough, and that's what we're going to confirm today in Holy Communion, if He loved us enough to offer up, in the King James, it's sacrificial language, to give Him as a lamb to be sacrificed, to give Him as a substitute to take our place and suffer for our sin. If He loved us enough to offer up, say sacrifice, His only Son, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? So faith is not just grabbing hold of a promise and standing on the word. Faith is focusing on a person who God has given for us, who gave Himself in obedience to God and love for us on that old rugged cross today. Amen. If you want to stay distracted, you will. But if you want Him to help you to stay focused on that will bring you faith, that will give you faith, that will help you to stay in your lane and keep on running. I had a picture one time of I think it was the tortoise and the hare. Amen. The hare was a rabbit. A rabbit's in a race, and the tortoise is in the race, and the tortoise is coming along, you know, and the rabbit is, pow! Rabbit gets so far ahead of the tortoise, he decides to take a rest. He said, I got this race won. I think I'll take me a little rest. He goes over, he lays his head back down, goes fast asleep, wakes up, and guess what? He sees a tortoise walking right by him. The bottom, it said, the race is not always to the swift. How many's known people who said, I'm going to run for Jesus? You come out of revival meeting like gangbusters. I'm going to run for the Lord. I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do that for God. I'm going to take off, you know, like a bat out of Dover. Dover's a bad place anyway. You've been to Dover. I had a trailer in Dover. It was a nice trailer in Dover. Amen. It's between here and there. Amen. But it's got a reputation. Listen, there's a lot of people bust out of the gate. They're going to go for God. And then 6 months later, you see them sidelined. They got distracted and they got discouraged. I'm telling you, if the devil can't distract you, he can never discourage you. Because Jesus will encourage you if you keep your focus on Him. Can you say amen? What did He say? Here we are again. Come unto me. Come on, let me help you. Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden, Amen. That burden is on you constantly. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Is he saying, look to me? Trust in me? Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's all about him. It's not about them that distract us. It's about him that came to save us, to shed his blood for us, to show God's love to us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Forget about them and focus on him. Brother Bimbo, you don't know what she did to me. I don't want to know what she did to you. I'm here to tell you what God has done for you. Can you say amen? And a day needs to come when you forget about what he or she did to you and focus on what God has done for you. And the day you do, discouragement's going to be gone. Praise God. He will encourage you and you'll get back in the race and you will run it with perseverance. Oh, Brother Venable, everybody must have just loved on you your whole ministry. Brother Doug said one pastor's appreciation, said, we love our pastor. He's so sweet. I thought, I am. I'm so sweet. Everybody loves me. Everybody can't wait to hug me. Everybody can't wait to say an encouraging word. By the way, thank you. When we were in a conversation the other day, just thank you for that sermon Sunday. You know what that does for me, coming from a fellow minister, coming from anybody, but especially somebody knows the word like you do. It's like saying, anybody ever seen a bird dog? Ever heard of a bird dog? It's like saying, sick 'em. Sick 'em. Sick 'em. And boy, the devil don't want a preacher that's ready to sick him. Amen. Get the word out to the world. Scream it from the housetops. Shout it from the housetops. Hallelujah. Encouragement to stay focused. Glory to the God. Look neither to the right hand nor the left hand, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. I press. He's in the same conditions. He's in the same oppositions. He's in the same persecutions. What he could have focused on? Listen, 39 stripes. You talk about discouraged. If that isn't discouraging, when God allows, permits, in his permissive will, I know the questions are, I see a big old question mark above your head, and we all got to go home today, but we will address them. But I'm going to address it right here and now. Why did God let him go? Lest I be lifted up above measure because of the many revelations there was given to me, an emissary from Satan to buffet me. God in his permissive will allowed Satan to pour it on him, but he gave him a sufficient grace to go through it, not keep him from it. No, you don't want to hear that message, so we'll move right along. He said, I was given 39 stripes 5 times for preaching the gospel. They took him out. They bent him over whatever they bent him over, tied him to it. And they come down for 39 times. And it was literally beating you to within an inch of your life. When they superseded 39, many people died from the shock of the beating. It was that bad. That's why they stopped at 39. 5 times he suffered that beating and stayed in his lane. Kept on preaching the gospel. Oh, but it's not over. Distractions? You think you got big ones that you can't get past? You know what the Apostle Paul said to people that have got these things that bug us, bother us, and distract us, and we justify it and keep on being distracted? You have not suffered unto blood, striving against sin. Yes, you suffer. Yes, you have a battle to fight, a battle to win, but you have not suffered unto blood for your faith. I have. I was not only given 39 stripes on 5 occasions, I was beaten with rods 3 times. This is an unwielding rod. It's not a switch to leave stripes. It is a rod to bruise and to batter. I was beaten with rods on 3 occasions. I was shipwrecked. I was in the deep for a day and night. For 24 hours, I was not rescued trying to survive the shipwreck. I was in peril of sword. I was naked. I was hungry. He must not have got a hold of the many books and sermons that are out there today of how to follow Jesus and be rich and wealthy and never have a problem because of your wealth and your riches. These preacher boys and gals wouldn't follow Paul around the block. One whooping, because it was beyond whipping. One whooping. And they would have given up on the faith. If God isn't going to just give me everything I want, then I don't really need to follow Jesus any further. Demas fooled Paul. He seemed dedicated. He seemed committed. And so Paul chose him to go with him as a fellow minister. He had had trouble with Mark and John Mark, and they disagreed sharply. So he chose Demas to go with him. But after a while, he wrote another letter. Amen. He said, send me John Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry. We might disagree on some things, but push come to shove, he's right there with me in the foxhole. Right there with me in the thick of the fight. He's committed to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But Demas, he hath forsaken me, having loved what? This present world. Amen. Love not the world or the things that are in it. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. The earthbound church, the materialistic message, you will never hear about what you may have to face and what many of our brethren are suffering for the faith. You will only be told what God owes you and how His greatest desire for your life is to make you rich and opulent. You mentioned it today. How to live your best life right now. And here's something you won't hear. Comes at the end of our communion service. It begins with looking back toward the cross and Him who died on it for us. But it doesn't end looking back to the cross. Amen. It ends looking forward to His soon coming. Praise God. Amen. We look back at the cross, and we should look back at the cross. And that's where the first love for Him is supposed to be rekindled and our devotion deepened. But we don't stay at the foot of the cross. We look forward to the soon coming. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show." S-H-E-W. That means to publicly proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. When we receive communion this morning, we are declaring we're not saved because we're under Brother Venable's ministry. We're not saved because of a denominational preference. A church with stained glass and steeple can't save us. We're not saved because of a particular revelation of a gal or a guy. We're saved for one reason and one reason only. We're not saved because we suddenly became sinlessly perfect and evolved into some super spiritual condition. We are saved for one reason. We're declaring it publicly every time we receive communion. We are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb, without spot and without wrinkle. Praise God. And we're, now that we have looked back at the cross, we look forward to His coming. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show, publicly declare, for anyone to see, everyone to see, the Lord's death, till He come. So when we start into the communion, we're thanking Him for the cross. I love that song, "Thank You for the Cross, My Friend." Thank You for the cross. But we don't end looking back at the cross. We're saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and safe from the wrath to come. And so He ends that meal that would become our communion, Lord's Supper, by saying, as often as you do this, you show the Lord's death till He come. And there's not a communion service that doesn't end with those words. I'm coming back for you. Don't you ever forget it. Amen. When times get rough and when it gets hard, remember, I'm coming back for you. I'm coming. You show my death until for you until I come to take you home. Praise God. He's coming back again. And everything that's happening around the world right now, men's hearts failing for fear, looking at the things that are coming upon the earth. Earthquakes in divers places, the sea and the waves roaring. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, unto the wicked. So it's more than tidal waves. It's more than earthquakes. It's humanity in chaos and crisis. How does the Antichrist come, the false prophet? Out of the sea. Talking about the water? No, out of the sea of humanity will come a man, will come a person. When the sea and waves roar, it's because of the wickedness of man has got to the point that there's chaos and crisis all over the world. And we're right in it, right in the middle of it. Thank God I'm in the eye of the hurricane. Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find what the whole world needs and they'll never find if they don't come to Jesus. And a Christian won't find unless they stay focused on Jesus. Can I get a good amen here today? I know many, you know, they had trouble with the Jebusites. Does anybody know a bunch of those guys that Jebusites, Hittites, Canaanites? But you know your biggest problem is the Uptites. If you stay in worry and anxiety, it won't be the Hittites that defeat you. It won't be the Canaanites or the Jebusites. It'll be the Uptites that get you. In all things, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known. Get focused on Jesus. Get in the prayer closet. Shut to the door. Put down the cell phone. Quit texting. Quit looking back. Quit thinking about what's wrong in your life, how many people have done you wrong, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching to those things that are before. Hallelujah. I know my thoughts toward you to give you peace and good and not evil, that you might have an expected end. Hallelujah. I know I'm going through something, but God is going to make it turn out to good in spite of the bad intentions if I keep my focus. But I got to do it. And that's why He gave me this message for you to go into this new year with, and for me first. I can't focus on the people that aren't here. I focus on the people that are here and say, thank God they came back. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God they still have confidence that they're going to hear from God. They're not going to hear a cleverly, well-timed sermonette for Christianettes that stay in spiritual bassinets. Paul could have been distracted. Oh, he said, not only I fell among thieves, I was shipwrecked. That's a biggie. He said, I was among false brethren. You know what David said about a brother? He said, you know, he killed a giant without, but there were giants within that he had to fight. And the discouragement of being betrayed by someone that was close to you will hurt you worse than someone that broke your nose and you had to let it heal. Because it will heal eventually if you don't get socked again. But that pain within, he said, it wasn't an enemy that betrayed me. It wasn't Goliath's type. It wasn't the Hittites. It was a brother. We went up to the temple to worship together. And what broke his heart was that the person he trusted with all of his heart betrayed him. And he didn't have any problem under the anointing to take care of that giant without, did he? He took him down. No big deal. But this giant of a broken heart, this hurt by a brother, you were hurt in your relationship early on, and it cut you worse. If you had been cut with a knife, and remember when you had a lawn service, and you reached down to adjust your riding mower, and what did it do? Caught the tip of your finger. How many fingers? Two fingers. Amen. It cut them almost off, didn't it?
To be honest, when I first took that glove off, my fingers were severed. But then I was praying on the way to the hospital, and then it was only the nails that was cut off, completely cut off. So it's a miracle. I kept the glove. I put it in the plastic bag and everything just to remember the blessing that God gave me. That was a miracle that day.
Oil and wine in the wound, physically. That wound, miracle, oil and wine. But there's another healing. That I don't know if you're still even dealing with it, but it was something you had to deal with, and that was the hurt within your heart by the betrayal of someone you trusted. And it turned her life, changed the trajectory of her life completely. And she could be dwelling on that this morning instead of the goodness of God. Communion is to help us to focus on what He's done for us, not what other people's done to us. And if we get our focus clear on that, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It don't matter what nobody... Hey, talk about broken hearts. Can I just point out, if you focus on brokenness, a root of bitterness would spring up and give you trouble right here and right now. Amen. Discourage you. How many people have a root of bitterness? Not because they're mean people and they don't want to be sanctified, because they're still focusing on something. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I don't know what this person did, but if you forgave them, I don't even care what they did. Oh, Paul, have you heard? I don't know. I don't care. Here's what I care about. Amen. If you have dealt with it and walked them through and forgiven them, we forgive them also. Are you ready for this? Lest Satan should gain an advantage over us. Can you say amen? Now, listen, I know you're here today. God wouldn't give me this message if it wasn't for you. It's for all of us to a degree, but it's for somebody specifically today. God wants to bless you in this coming year, not just by giving you stuff, but by giving you peace. to give you, maybe for the first time since you've been hurt and betrayed, give us something, amen, that'll take that bitterness away. Hallelujah. And make you sweet again. Amen. Forgetting those things that are behind. And reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize. I persevere for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. And how did he do it? Because all this stuff kept happening to him. He looked at every one of them while looking to Jesus for the grace sufficient and the faith he needed. And when you heard about all these things he suffered, it makes you cringe. Here's the way the Apostle Paul classified that. He said, but these, are you ready for this? These light afflictions. What? What? When you look to Jesus, it changes things, my brother and my sister. What looked like an overwhelming, that would destroy. Amen. He said, but these light afflictions, which in light of what? Eternity. He said, they're not even, he looked past the past because he knew the future and focused on it. These light afflictions are not even worthy to be compared to the glory. See where he's looking? To Jesus and to the future that God has for him as a believer. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, juxtaposed over against eternity, this is a little thing, a light thing. Amen. What we're going to get is a forever thing. And he looked past the temporal into the eternal. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a greater weight of glory that is to come, and they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that awaits us when he comes. When he comes. When he comes. Can you say amen? How many are ready in this communion that we're about to receive? How many are ready to forget the things that are behind? To press on this coming year to God's will and purpose for our life. And believe me, there's no one in here without God having a purpose for you being in this world. We are in the kingdom and in this world and in this generation for a time such as this. Guy tried to sell me some kind of investment opportunity. Came up to me in the Goodwill. That's not where you find the big investors, by the way. But I was looking pretty good for a Goodwill guy. Amen. I found a shirt. It would be $50 in Belk's or somewhere. And it was $5.98. It had the tag on it. And it was my size. And it not only had the tag, it had this and that and this thing. You have to. It had never been worn. And it looked good. Oh, and this guy came up to me. I thought he might be gay at first because, and then I found out he was just looking for somebody, because he came up to me and says, boy, I bet you're going to look good in that shirt. And I thought, oh, okay, well, moving right along. Then he, you know, introduced me to his wife, and then I said, okay, amen, I'll accept the compliment. I am going to look good in that shirt, Brother Taylor. Hallelujah. And then he said, how old are you? I said, I'm going to celebrate my last 70th birthday. He said, you ain't old, that's only a number. And I thought, this is getting better, and he's not even gay. Amen. He said, my mother is 95 years old. He said, I am an entrepreneur, and he said it right. I always get it wrong. There's an entrepreneur. Anyway, come on, give me a fist bump. I do get it wrong sometimes. He said, I'm an entrepreneur. He said, I was 20 years old when I made my first investment. I said, then you're a real entrepreneur. He said, I am. He said, my mother is 95 years old and she's still investing. He said, I've got a house up in Vermont. And he said, and I've got a house down here. And he was telling me what his investments are. See, if you're investing with other people's money, you're really not taking a big risk as an entrepreneur. If you can get other people to share your vision and dream and invest in what you, and you get a percentage because you got them to. Anyway, then I found out he is telling me all this not because I'm going to look good in this shirt. He's telling me this, and that my age is just a number. He's telling me this to butter me up. And he thinks that I've got money in the bank because I'm almost 80 and I've probably been frugal because I'm shopping at Goodwill for a shirt. And probably all the big money sitting in the bank. And if they could just get me to invest, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 in this particular thing. If it works, he gets a percentage. If it don't work, it don't cost him anything. If it don't work, it costs me everything. What he didn't know is I'm not shopping in Goodwill because I'm squirreling away all my riches. I'm shopping in Goodwill because I don't have $50 to pay for a cotton shirt just because of the label that's on the inside. Say, Brother Venable, you're embarrassing me. Well, when I wear that shirt, I will not tell anybody but you guys what it cost and where I got it. In fact, I call the Goodwill the G&W Fashion Shop. Where'd you get that? The G&W Fashion. Where is that? I'd like to go there. That looks good. Well, you hear what I paid for it. You'll like it even better. Why would you do that? Why don't you get rich and famous? Why don't you get houses and lands? And why do you have to worry about your car being fixed? You could have so much money, live in a compound. Just get a hold of the right message. You got the wrong message. You want people to deny themselves. You should tell them how to indulge themselves, and they'll come in droves. But here's a message you won't hear from the worldly, earthbound church. You won't hear about taking up your cross. You won't hear about any suffering for Jesus' sake. It will require no devotion to anyone but self. You won't hear about taking up your cross in order to follow him. You won't even hear about following his example, because believe me, his and the apostles' example is a far cry from that preacher living in that compound worth $200 million. I'll lay some truth on you this morning. And here's something you won't hear. You won't hear about how close we are to the coming of Jesus Christ. Every communion service, you show his death till he come. Don't forget I'm coming back. Don't forget I'm coming soon. Don't put your roots down deep into this world that is passing. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I'm coming for my bride. And I'm coming soon. Praise God. You won't hear anything about the rapture. You won't hear about the tribulation period that's about to break upon the world. You will not hear those crucial messages to the body of Christ, because everybody's out for the big house, the big car, and the big bucks. You won't hear that if you don't forgive men, Christ will not forgive you. And that's going to leave you in a pickle when you pray. If you don't forgive, there's part of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, contingent. Contingent. His forgiveness is contingent on us forgiving. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And Jesus put it more succinctly and specifically. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody. For if you will not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. I cannot afford that, just to hold on to bitterness and justify it by saying, you don't understand what they did to me. Honey, whatever they did to you is not supposed to transcend what God has done for you when He gave His Son. That's your way to get past it. Hallelujah. And that's why we have Holy Communion, to focus on what He's done for us and forget about what they've done to us. Hallelujah. And get back in the race. And cut the axe, the Bible said, is laid to the root, the bitterness. You cut the root. Oh, you don't just trim the plant and have a little cry and go right on being ugly. No, you hit the root. Amen. If you kill the root, you don't need to trim the plant. Amen. You don't cut the bad fruit off of it when you can't quit talking about them and telling on them and wanting pity for how they did you. You cut off that little branch. No, you don't trim it. You don't trim this tree. You kill it. You kill it. The axe is laid where? To the root, praise God. Because when you cut that tap root of bitterness, you kill that old ugly tree. And the devil can't use it to distract you, discourage you, and cause you to be a bitter, sad, beat up, beleaguered, beat down person. And now you can represent a kingdom. Hallelujah. That is not meat and drink, but is righteousness. It's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I love to represent that kingdom in the midst of the kingdom of darkness. Compare my life with the, I don't mean money. I don't mean stuff. God meets my needs. I started to say not my wants, but you know something? When you want Him more than anything else, you don't want as many other things to try to fill that void in your life. Amen. Y'all got a Lincoln from an old guy. How old was he? 96. He was an old guy. Okay. Hallelujah. So he didn't hot rod that Lincoln. It wasn't a hot rod Lincoln. And it's a used Lincoln. But he took care of his baby. He took care of that car. He probably never drove it over 30 miles an hour. Amen. Maybe 40 on trying to, you know, hurry and get somewhere. And when we talked about an anniversary coming up for my wife and I love what she was so giving. She said, Pastor Venable, if you want to take Pamela, I told Pamela she left her head off. Anyway, well, almost off. If you want to take Pamela to somewhere special for your anniversary, we'll loan you our car. In other words, if it's a special restaurant where you have to wear a sport coat to even eat your steak. Amen. Hey, come on, there's places like, there used to be one downtown. I was invited to one, said Brother Venable, if you come, be sure and bring your sport coat. And if you don't have one, they will give you one. They've got sport coats in there to keep that restaurant in the high class thing, that they'll give you a sport coat so that you can be dressed accordingly for the type of place that you are in. So I think my Pathfinder will be just fine. No one's going to look at me any differently when I take my wife out to Mickey D's and tell them to supersize everything, because nothing is too good for my fox. No, I get her whatever she wants. If she wants a steak from the Outback, wherever she wants to go, we'll get her a steak. Amen. I try to take good care of her, but she has no interest, and I have no interest in going to somewhere that costs you, you know, $100 tip and $300 meal, and. But I want to bless that gal because she's stuck with me. And I did not become rich or famous. But God has been good to me and good to her and good to our family. Stay focused, forgetting the things that are behind and looking to the things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. And he never stopped pressing on, because he looked at all the trouble as in light of what was before him that he stayed focused on, these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, are working in us and for us for an exceeding great glory when he comes. And down at the end of his life, he ended it with an epitaph and a testimony. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And here's his forward look. The time of my departure from here is at hand. But it's not my demise. My departure from here is not my demise. You know what that word means in the nautical sense? I'll tell you. When a ship takes off the rope that's holding it to its moorings and sets off to its destination, that is the Greek word in the nautical sense for departure. The time for me to loose the cords with this old world is over. But I'm not over, and it's not over. I'm setting forth to be absent from the body. Come on, let's untie this old gospel ship today and set forth. I don't mean you're going to die right now, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. Amen. Let's get rid of this earthbound attitude. Amen. And say, if things aren't going good here, I'm not under the blessing, I don't have this, I didn't get to do that. Forget about all of that. There's a day coming when that cord's going to be loosed and we're going to set forth to our destination. And we are destined, hallelujah, to share the glory of Christ. We've been raised with him, buried with him, raised with him, and seated with him in heavenly realms. Glory to God. Glory. Praise the Lord. It's time for us to receive today. Hallelujah. Will you serve us today, Holy Communion? Do you have a song you want me to? You can. It's up to you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's prepare our hearts and let's stay focused. Did you get something out of this message as we receive communion?
Yes, left my burdens on the shore. I went down a sinner, came up a saint, died with Christ. Now I'm reborn. Yes, he washed me in his mercy.
Yes, he
and
did.
He cleansed me with his blood. Now I stand complete. I have been set free. I found there in the flood.
Let's sing it out.
Not the same, I am changed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. By his grace I am saved, I'm his child forever I am. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Pause that right here. We will finish it. Still talking about focus. If Jesus had focused on them that forsook him, if Jesus had focused on Judas who betrayed him, if Jesus had focused on the crowd, many of which he had healed, that said, "Give us Barabbas," he would have not went to that cross. He would have said, "They are not worth the suffering that I would have to do to save them. They are fickle. They're unfaithful. They will turn on you. They will not appreciate what you've done for them. They're not worth my blood, my body, my sacrifice, or my suffering." But there was a super, and he's right. We're not worthy of the blood, but we are worthy because of the blood to receive these tokens of his suffering and his sacrifice today. So let a man, a woman, boy or girl examine themselves, because to take this, even the symbols of his sacrificial blood and body, unworthily, we would drink damnation to our body. For this cause, many of you are sickly, and many of you sleep, which means die prematurely without living out your days. You don't have to be sinlessly perfect to take communion, but you must have your sins forgiven to take communion. And you must reverence what these tokens represent. What he was addressing was, they, like many churches today, not just the communion service, but in everything, is fleshly, carnal, self-indulging. But when you come to the sacred things and the holy things, God demands due reverence. Instead of taking a token drink of grape juice, they brought a bottle of wine to the service. Instead of taking a token representing his broken body, a wafer, they brought a sandwich, and they were drinking wine and filling their gut. And he said, this is a holy event. This is not the real body. This is not the real blood. The real blood is shed on the mercy seat. But these are tokens of that blood in that body. And you don't turn it into a fleshly party. You reverence it. How many reverence what we're about to do? Because he said, this is my body broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me. Suffering and dying for you. Father, we thank you. We examine ourselves. In fact, I just want to pray a prayer as we close this communion and receive it. Close this service. I'm just going to pray this for me. You can agree in your heart. And it's Psalm 51. Prayer of David, of deep repentance and a cry to be clean before the Lord. Wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then sinners will be converted unto thee, and transgressors will learn thy ways. Glory be to God. Father, I pray that today along with David of old. I thank you. I thank you, God, for the gift of your Son to be our sacrifice lamb. I thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. I thank you for staying on the cross until the sin debt was paid in full. I thank you for your body and what you suffered in your body for our sins. I thank you. I thank you. He tore a loaf of bread in two. He passed it to the disciples. Said, as often as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me, suffering, dying for you. You may eat the bread. Four cups on the table. The last cup, they believe Elijah would come back. They had a cup set aside for Elijah. Third cup, the one Jesus picked up to drink from. In the cedar, the Passover meal was representative of them bringing them out of Egypt and Egypt's bondage. And that's what he came to do with his shed blood. A type of the world and Satan's hold on us through the world system. Hallelujah. He picked up the cup and said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink it, hallelujah, you show the Lord's death till he come. How many are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus, thank you for every drop of blood that you shed. Thank you for the blood, my friend. Thank you forever. I'm not just going to give thanks. I'm going to live thanks with every breath I have, all that I have in my body. I want to serve you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. You may drink the cup today. Hallelujah. 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 Do you have my... this, we're going to play one song before we go. Have you got time for one song? Amen. Hallelujah. If you have to go anytime, you may. I don't know your schedule, and I don't know, our services are not well timed that you can set time. I used to have to run out of the service to get to work at 2 o'clock and work till 10 o'clock on my shift. So I would take off my coat and tie on the way, put on my uniform, work 8 hours, come home, take the dogs for a walk, feed my critters, my dogs and my wife. Amen. She loved me called a critter because she knows how I love my dogs. Anyway, God is so good today. How many will be attuned to hear a message that will help you have a hope that will keep you pure this coming year? He that has this hope of the coming of the Lord purifieth himself. Hallelujah. We live our life looking forward in the light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And by faith, we know he's coming in the sky. And by faith, we begin to see it before it actually happens. And to sense it. Praise God. It's on here somewhere. It's right here. Let's have this one song that we get focused on the soon coming of Jesus this coming year. And live our life and travel light. We don't need roots too deep into this world. We just occupy till he comes.